Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13. I'm not sure if I helped them or hurt them up here this morning, but sometimes it's hard to get the timing on some of them songs. Matthew chapter 13. This one of the passages that I go back to often in my personal life and think about and bring it up sometimes in the middle of a sermon here. One of those parables that speaks to me in a very special way and encourages me in some special ways. And so every few years you're going to find that we're going to go back and revisit this. Keep in mind, sometimes you've been here a while, you may have heard me preach this on a couple of occasions, but there's always somebody here that may not have heard this passage preached that may need it. And so, but I'm always going to come back to it. There are certain passages of scriptures that we're going to go back to frequently because of what they speak. What they speak about and how they impact our lives. Matthew chapter 13 is one of Jesus' parables. A parable is simply a short, simple story that usually of something very familiar, something that people see around them every day, that teaches a spiritual truth. It's an illustrative story that unveils, if you will, spiritual truth. I'm not going to read this section, but in the heart of this parable, between Jesus giving the story and Jesus interpreting the story, in chapter 13, beginning around verse 10, Jesus, the disciples wanted to know, why do you teach in parables? Why do you tell us these stories? And Jesus said, well, it's been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but everybody can't. Not everybody understands. Not everybody that sees actually sees. Not everybody that hears actually hears. And so these parables are given for their sake so that spiritual truths that they might not recognize can be comprehended just by thinking about the story. And so all of these parables are designed to get people thinking, to get them looking at what they see all around them and opening their eyes up to spiritual, opening their ears up to spiritual truths. And so, and this parable is a little bit different than some of them because he actually gave us the interpretation of it. We don't have to come up with our own. And there's a danger when you look into some of these parables and trying to make too much of every part of it. And some people have used them and twisted them. And I've heard some things that were said from some of the parables that I'm like, I don't even know where you get that from. I'm not sure where you glean that from. So there's always a danger in a parable of not properly interpreting it, of taking your own wishes and wants out of it and making it say what you want it to say. The benefit of this parable is that we don't have to guess what the interpretation is. We don't have to guess what Jesus was talking about because he told us what he was talking about. So I think that's one of the reasons it's my favorite, because we don't have to guess about what he meant. He tells us exactly what he meant by the parable. The second reason I think it's one of my favorites is I get discouraged easily. I Rob Morgan, years ago, when I went to a preacher's conference somewhere, he pastored Donaldson Fellowship, one of the largest Free Will Baptist churches in the nation in Tennessee. But he made a statement that just stuck with me. He said, discouragement is the occupational hazard of pastoral ministry. Discouragement is the occupational hazard of pastoral ministry. Everybody's got hazards in their ministry, in their job situation. Discouragement is my occupational hazard. Because I preach, I study, I preach, I pray, I ask the Lord to give me what he would have me to say and preach. And I can get discouraged when I don't see results from the preaching. I can get discouraged when people don't respond, when I don't see people being saved, when I don't see people recommitting or surrendering their lives to Christ, or when I don't see backsliders coming home, when I don't see church members growing spiritually. I can get easily discouraged by that in my preaching. And so one of the things this parable helps me with is it helps me understand that I have one part in this. I have one part in this, and I have a responsibility to fulfill that role. But that's not the only responsibility that exists inside this building. There's another responsibility that exists here that I can't really do anything about other than throw the seed, as Jesus is instructing us to in this parable. But I want us to read it all, and then I'm just going to come back and preach it. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Look with me in Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and delivered them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So there's the illustration, there's the story, there's the parable. The interpretation is given beginning in verse number 18. Jesus said, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended, by and by he stumbles. Verse 22, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So there are just three basic elements of this whole parable. The first is the seed, whoever hears the word of the kingdom. When you talk about the word of the kingdom, that is just biblical truth. The word of the kingdom is the truth that is contained in the Bible, which is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Whatever truth that you're proclaiming, whatever truth that you sow, as long as it is the word of God, it is a good seed. The word of God, and I'm going to say this every time, I think that this is what's missing in a lot of the churches that are going astray. You got to elevate the word of God. You've got to set the word of God up on that pedestal and say this is what is essential. The Bible, in fact, tells us that our salvation is dependent upon that word of God finding a place in our heart. We are born again. We are begotten again with an incorruptible seed, and that seed is, the Bible tells us, the word of God. So when you talk about the seed, the word of the kingdom, the truth contained in the Bible, the very inspired word of God, it is inerrant, it is infallible, it is immutable, and it is infused with the capability, if it finds the right place, of bringing forth spiritual fruit into our lives. The seed is good. There ain't nothing wrong with the seed. When the seed is being proclaimed in its fullness, it has the authority of God behind it, and it is capable of doing everything that God sends it to do. When the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, it goes on to tell us that the word of God equips us. It gives us everything that we need to be everything that God has called us to be and to do everything that God has called us to do. It equips us thoroughly to do every good work, to bring forth every good fruit that the Lord wants to produce in our life. So the seed is the word of God. It is the truth. Whatever you say that comes from the scripture, whatever you proclaim that comes from the scripture, whatever you read that comes from the scripture, it is a good seed. The second part of the parable is the sower. And the sower is just the one who scatters the seed. The one who possesses the truth that is contained in the word of God, and the one that proclaims that truth to a congregation of people like I'm doing this morning, or even to friends, to family members, to co-workers, to neighbors. The truth of the matter is that every Christian ought to be a sower of the seed. Not just the preacher behind the pulpit, but every Christian sitting in the pew who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and has the Holy Spirit living on the inside, we all ought to be sowers of the seed. We all ought to be speakers, proclaimers of the Word of God. Any preacher, any teacher, any faithful witness of the truth, which is what every good Christian can and should be, is a sower of the seed. Now, while the seed is always good, sometimes the sowers are not so good. Sometimes we don't do a good job of sowing. Sometimes we don't sow at all. Sometimes we sow it in the wrong ways, maybe. Sometimes we try to force it upon people who are not ready to hear it. But the sower has a responsibility to proclaim the truth of what God's Word says. And then the last part of the soil, which is basically the most, I won't say it's the most important part, it is the biggest subject of this whole parable, is the soil that the seed finds its resting place. And I'm a little bit conflicted about how to use the words here, because there are some that just hear the word, and then there are some that hear the word and receive the word. And I think there's something to be said about those words, that it's possible to hear without receiving, but it's not possible to receive it without first hearing it. So anybody that hears and or receives the seed, either with or without an understanding of it, or either with or without a believing ear of faith. So here's the thing, and we're going to dig this out. That's a good word. We're going to dig this out. The soul. This is the part that encourages me as a pastor. My responsibility is to make sure that I've got the good seed, that I'm preaching the truth of God's word, and that I'm sowing it, that I'm scattering that seed. But the other side of that responsibility lies with the soul itself. The soul is responsible for being prepared to receive the word, for being prepared to hear it, for being prepared to understand it, for being prepared to receive it by faith so that it changes them. So the soul has that responsibility, which is all of our hearts, of being prepared and fertile enough to receive the seed with faith that bears fruit. So let's kind of pick this apart a little bit. Every time I preach truth and every time you speak truth, wherever you speak truth, whether it's on your job with your coworkers, with your friends, with your family, your neighbors, wherever you're speaking truth, and whenever I'm proclaiming truth from this pulpit, it falls upon at least one of four types of ears and hearts. And let's just think about these for a few minutes. The wayside soul. The wayside soul. It's indifferent. If you look into it, I'm not going to go back and read all of these verses individually, but in verse 19, the seed is on the ground, but it's not in the ground. It's easy pickings for the enemy. Jesus made it clear in the parable that the birds of the, you sow the seed, it falls on hard ground, and immediately the birds come and devour the seed, take it away. And Jesus said the bird in that case was the enemy. Easy pickings for the enemy. It is an indifferent hearer. It is somebody that the word of God has fell upon their ears, but it goes no deeper than that. It goes no further than that. It is on the soul, but it is not in the soul. It has no understanding of what it heard, and has no desire to understand what it heard. It is a heart that is cold and callous, and it'll always leave like it came in, unchallenged and unchanged. Now listen to me. There are people coming here on Sunday mornings, and it may be you. I want you to hear this. You make up your mind what you're going to do with the seed when you come into this room. If you want to hear it, if you want to understand it, if you want to receive it, if you want to believe it, you can. I don't think God is hiding himself out from us. I don't think God is stopping our ears or hardening our hearts in the sense that he don't want you to know and understand the truth. But you can come in here with an indifferent ear. You can come in here for whatever reason. You can come because you promised a family member you could come. You can come because it's a thing to do on Sunday morning because you've been doing it all your life. But you come in with an indifference to the word of God. You come in not caring if you hear, not caring if you understand, not caring if you receive it enough to apply it to your life. It is a cold, callous heart. And listen to me, if you come in this church with that kind of mentality, there ain't nothing that I can say or nothing that I can do that's going to help you, because you're indifferent towards it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to receive it. You don't want to believe it. You'll be unchallenged by it. You'll be unchanged by it. You'll be resistant to it. And that makes you easy pickings for the enemy. Whatever is said in here before you get out the door will be gone. You won't remember it again. And it's possible for us to come in with that kind of mentality. And sometimes you hear me pray this, that the Lord would help us to shut out the cares and distractions of this world for that reason, because we can come in here carrying all of those things into this building with us, and it makes us indifferent to whatever else is being proclaimed here. So that's the wayside soul, indifferent, on, not in, cold, calloused heart. Then there's the stony soul, and I'm going to tell you, out of all of the different souls, this one and the next one, I think, concern me the most in the context of being in the church. I think that indifferent here concerns me about people being lost and not caring that they're lost. But these next two, I think, have a bearing especially upon church folks, upon even those who believe the word. At least they have a they believe it initially. Maybe they don't continue to believe it, but they have an initial positive reaction to the word of God. Jesus talked about the stony soul. And you've heard me mention this before. That is somebody that hears the word of God emotionally. Read what Jesus said. The one that received the seed in the stony places is one that heareth the word and with joy receives it. But then there comes some tribulations and cares along. And those tribulations and those cares of this world cause him or her to begin to stumble. So an emotional hearer of the word, the seed gets on and even in, but it has no root. It's a superficial faith. Now, this concerns me because I think a lot of people have experienced an emotional reaction to the hearing of the truth, but it's very superficial. It doesn't involve their will. It doesn't involve their want. It just involves an emotional hearing of the truth, and they make an emotional response to it, but it never actually gets down into their heart and produces any real change in them. It is an inch thick and a mile wide. It has no depth to it, and it is a revelation of a confused and cowardly heart. It's somebody that hears it with joy initially, but they won't let it get deep enough to influence them in a way that changes them permanently. This is a fear of mine. In fact, I think the greatest fear of the church in America today, to me, is that people have this an emotional faith. They're depending upon how they feel, not about what they know. And they're basing their salvation experience on a feeling of joy. And listen, there is joy in salvation and peace and righteousness in it when you experience the kingdom. But it's not just about a feeling. It's not just about what we feel. It's about what God said and whether we believe what God said. So an emotional hearer, somebody that just hears it with that ear, that has it might have a form of religion, but there's no real substance to it. It's lip service. It's a life that's not fully surrendered. It has no root, and so therefore it produces no fruit, and it eventually just withers away. Listen to me. If you have heard the word of God simply with an emotional ear, and you have responded to it only in an emotional way, when the trials and tribulations of this world spring up, you will stumble and fall. Because you're not always going to feel good in the faith. It's not always going to be an easy life. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's quite different than that. There are going to be persecutions. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. And if you only heard it with an emotional ear, you're not going to be able to stand. You won't produce any fruit in that season. You'll just wither away. What God wants is us to hear it with an ear that surrenders not just emotionally to it, but that surrenders completely to it, a submission to it in every area. Then there's that thorny soul. That's a double-minded hearer. I won't go back and read these to you again, but you look at it, the seed went on, it in, it went down even. But it never came up. It never came up to the point of bearing fruit. It went on, it went in, it went down, but it never produced fruit. This is a conflicted and corrupted heart. And this is the way that I view this kind of hearer. It's a person that heard the word of God and they wanted to go all in, but they also wanted to keep one foot in the world. They wanted what the promises of the word bring, but they didn't want what the commitments of the word require. It's double-mindedness. It is a heart that is still trying to serve two masters. It is a heart that is conflicted between a spiritual life and a fleshly life. It is a heart that wavers back and forth between the two. Jesus warned often about that heart, that thorny soul that will get choked out. Jesus said, by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, it gets choked out by worldliness. Now, I was talking to somebody this morning about this. I remember one of the things that kept me back I won't share my testimony again, but God got my attention in July of 1993, but it wasn't until October of 1993 that I had the good soil heart. In fact, I'll tell you that I went in many times between July the 23rd and that first Sunday in October 1993. I went into the church and heard the Word of God sown and scattered many times. And sometimes I heard it all these different ways. Sometimes I went and made up my mind, I ain't going to hear what He's got to say today. I don't want to hear what He's got to say today. Sometimes I went in and was moved. My emotions were moved by it, but I didn't surrender to it. Other times I went in and I had this double-minded hearing going on. This is my thought process. I shared it with somebody this morning. For a long time, I wanted what the Word of God was offering me, but I did not want to give up what I had enjoyed in the world, including some friend circles that I ran with. This is my thought process. If I go all in with Jesus, if I go all in with this truth, if I go all in with the Bible, then these people are going to cut me out of their life. It ain't going to be me cutting them off. It's going to be them cutting me off because I'm not doing the things that they do, going to places that they go, saying the things that they say. So if I hear the Word with a good heart, I'm going to lose this part of my life. And I really felt like that. I really felt like I was going to lose more friends, more fun than I gained. And so that's a double-minded hearer. I went into church house with that, and I white-knuckled the pew many a Sunday with that conflict going on in my heart that I'm hearing the Word and I know that it's the truth and it's on me and it's in and it's doing some work in here. But it's not producing any fruit yet because it's getting choked out by worldly thinking and worldly ways and a carnal mindset. And then there's the good soul. And the best way to describe the good soul is just a heart that believes. Now, I'm not going to go back and preach that message on faith, but honestly, I've been thinking about that message ever since I preached. I was thinking about it a long time before I preached it. The church and the world at large has redefined what faith is. We have made faith just a mental assent to something being true. You can give mental assent and have a wayside heart, a stony heart, or a thorny heart, and it never change you, and it never produce any fruit in your life. But biblical faith is not only a faith that believes in God, but believes what God said, and believes what God said enough to take it and plant their life in that. And the whole, you remember the illustration, get in the wheelbarrow. It's not just that I believe He can, but I believe He will, and here I go. So this believing heart, this good soul is somebody that hears the Word in biblical faith that God is real and that God said what He meant and He meant what He said, and the best thing that I can do with what God said is to take it and make it a part of who I am. To hear it with an understanding and to hear it with a believing ear, so much so that I'm willing to just let it infiltrate every aspect of my life, holding nothing back, not double-minded, not running on emotions, but sold out for what I just heard, submitted completely to what I just heard. That is a good soul heart. That is seed that is on and in and up and down and up and bearing fruit. It is a heart that has been convinced that what you hear is true and has been converted by that truth. That's a fertile field. It is a heart that had a want. It wanted it. It had a will to submit itself to it. And in that want and in that will, there is a way for it to then become a fruitful field. And by the way, when you think about faith in and of itself and the seed in and of itself, it has the ability to reproduce. When you become fruitful, what does fruit do? It produces seed. It produces seed. Fruit produces seed. So when your life begins to bear fruit, you're producing more of that seed, more of that good seed that can be scattered on the souls of this world. And our responsibility is to scatter it. Our responsibility is to scatter it. Our responsibility is to take the truth and share it with as many people as we can. And it's not our responsibility how it's received. It's our responsibility just to keep scattering it. Now, this stood out to me years ago, and it still stands out to me today. And this is one of the things, it can discourage me, but it's also an encouragement to me that 75% of the field that this good seed lands on is infertile. Won't ever produce fruit. It is either received, it is not received at all, it is received emotionally, or it is received in a worldly-minded, double-minded way. That ain't the seed's fault. That ain't the sower's fault. That's the heart. That's the soul. That's the way that it's heard and understood and or received or not. It's our ears and it's our heart. Now, I want to pause and just say this. Because my question is, which one of these souls represents you? And in fact, I think we need to, this is a question we could ask ourselves every Sunday when we come in here. Where's my heart at today? Is my heart ready to hear the word, understand it, and receive it by faith? Whatever it says to me, however hard it may be for me to hear, I want to hear it, and I want to receive it, and I want it to change me. I want to be convinced by what I hear and converted. But the reality is that every time we come in here, we can come in here with one of those kinds of hearers, one of those kinds of ears, one of those kinds of hearts. It can change from week to week. Can we be honest and say that? That there are times that I hear the Word of God and I'm just as indifferent to it. It came at a time I didn't want to hear it. It came at a time I didn't want to receive it. And although it may have been true, although it was true, I didn't let it get in. I didn't let it get in. I think our heart can vacillate at times. I think we can go through seasons of our life where we're soaking up the Word of God. And it's changing us radically. It's transforming us day by day. But there are other times in our life where we can be any of those other three. 75% of the time, the Word of God didn't produce any fruit. Because it fell on bad, deaf ears or hard, callous, emotional, double-minded hearts. Which soil best represents you? When I think about a seed finding soil, this is not just about the seed germinating, which I would say is salvation in and of itself. Why are people not getting saved? Well, because they're not hearing it with a good believing heart. Now, you can blame me for that if you want to, but if I'm preaching the truth and people are not receiving the truth, it really ain't got anything to do with the preaching of it. It's got to do with the receiving of it. Now, I shared with you some statistics a few weeks ago when we were baptizing some children up here. The number of children that come to faith in Christ between the age of 5 and 14, that's the place where the soul is tender and ready. With childlike faith, Jesus said, if you don't come as a child, you can't come. But those children, they believe things easily. Listen, I believe the Bible when my mama told it to me more than I have when any preacher told it to me. Because I trusted my mama and I trusted what she was telling me was the truth. And so when these kids come to faith, make a big deal out of it. It is a big deal. 93% of the conversions that happen in this world happen between 5 and 14 years old. And after that, the numbers just take a nosedive. And part of the reason is because we get caught up in what we're feeling and we get caught up in the worldly ways that are bombarding our minds every day. And we get indifferent, even cold and callous towards it because we've heard it so much. So any given Sunday, you can come in here and hear good seed being scattered by somebody that's doing their very best to proclaim it in all of its goodness and all of its sweetness and all of its riches with the ability to bring about change in our lives. But you got to make up your mind how you're going to hear it, whether you're going to receive it. So it's not just the germination that I'm talking about. You say, well, preacher, I'm already saved. What does this have to do with me? You can't grow. You won't grow. It ain't just a matter of being saved. It's whether or not you're sanctified, whether or not you ever grow up, is that you've got to keep hearing the word. You've heard the word. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that you move on from those elementary doctrines of what faith in Christ has wrought for you, which is your salvation. If you want to grow, if you want to mature, if you want to produce fruit in your life, then you got to come in with this good ear, this believing ear every week. Not just every week, but every time you open the Bible to do your daily devotions, that you open it with the mindset that I want to know what God said, I want to believe what God, I want to understand what God said, I want to believe what God said, and I want to apply what God said to my life. That's hearing it with a good ear. That's where you'll grow up. That's where spiritual maturity will come from. So whether God's word converts us or changes us, it's just a matter of whether we're willing to hear it and understand it and believe it and apply it. And when we hear it and understand it and believe it and apply it, it converts us. It changes us. It saves us. It sanctifies us. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Then he went on to say, your word, God, is truth. Every time we are exposed to the Word of God, we reveal the condition of our own heart. On Sunday mornings, on Monday devotions, every time we are exposed to the Word of God, we reveal what kind of heart we got. And whether or not it's going to do anything for us. Whether it's going to produce salvation in us or whether it's going to sanctify us and help us to grow up spiritually. And every person in this room, myself included, is capable of having a wayside heart. And every person in this room is capable of having a stony heart. And every person in this room is capable of having a thorny, double-minded, worldly heart. And every person in this room is capable of having a good heart that hears, understands, believes, and applies the truth of God's word. So how's your heart? Cold, callous, confused, cowardly, conflicted, corrupted, convinced, converted. Let me just say this to you in closing. I think we've got a responsibility to cultivate our own heart so that it can receive the Word of God in good ground. Now, how do you do that? I don't think I could give you an exhaustive list, but I can tell you one thing that works. I'm not going to tell you I always do it, but I'm going to tell you it works when I do. Before you read the Word of God, pray. Before you come into the sanctuary on Sunday morning to hear what the message is, would you just pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, speak to me today in a way that I can hear it, in a way that I can understand it. Help me to believe it and then apply it to my life. That's cultivating your own heart. You got junk going on in your life. Lord, help me lay aside this distraction today because I know that your word can help me. And so I want to lay aside this care. I want to lay aside this distraction. Listen to me, you can come in here with thoughts about yesterday's football game. You can come in here with thoughts about where you're going to make your next $1 million at or whatever. You can come in here with all kind of mindsets, but you need to cultivate your heart before you're exposed. Do the same thing when you're about to do your morning devotionals. Pray before you read. Say, God, I don't know. I want you to open my heart, my ears, my mind. Help me to receive what it is that you have for me today. I've told y'all this story before about going to that man's house that I didn't want to go to, and the Lord wouldn't let me get out of. He wouldn't let me come back to the house. I kept hearing that voice, you need to go back and talk to him. I didn't want to talk to him. That guy didn't like me. I knew he was home because I seen his truck home, and I wondered what his truck was doing home because he's supposed to have been at work. And I'm like, okay, here I go because I ain't going to be disobedient. When he opened the door, his eyes were this big. And I thought I caught him doing drugs or something. He was surprised that the preacher was standing on the steps. And I'm telling you, I could go into some detail, but I'm going to tell you all that went on before that. But he didn't like me. And he said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, come in for a minute. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little bit hesitant. I thought he might kill me when they got me inside the house and dragged my body off, rolled me up in the carpet. And that's the kind of relationship we had. But on his dining room table, God is my witness. I won't ever forget it this day. It was one of them occasions that helped me listen to that still small voice when you hear it. His marriage was on the rocks. His life was on. He was at work. He was at home that day because of his drug. He got sent home because of his drug and alcohol problem. And I walked into his dining room, and there was an open Bible laying on the table. And he said, 10 minutes ago, I sat down and tried to read this book. And I didn't have a clue. I don't know where to start. I don't know what it means. And he said, I can't honestly tell you that I've ever prayed before other than wanting to be delivered from something that I got myself into. But he said, I was trying to read it and wasn't getting nothing out of it. And he said, I just said, God, if you want me to know what this book says, you're going to have to send somebody. Now, that what was that? What did that reveal? It was a heart that was cultivating itself to hear from God and believe what God said. I sat down at his dining room table and within half an hour led him to faith in Christ by just a simple declaration of the gospel and baptized him a couple weeks after that. So we got to cultivate our heart. Prayer helps do that. Pray and ask God, make my heart receptive to your word today. Arrest my attention. Give me something that applies to me today. Don't let me be thinking about who else needs to hear this. Let me be thinking about how this works in my life to help me become a better Christian or to help me be saved. Don't just let me hear from heaven today. Worship will cultivate your own heart. That's why it has become a tradition, but there's a reason behind it. When you sing, the Bible says that we ought to sing in the Spirit and sing with an understanding, because when you begin to sing spiritual truth, I can't explain this, but there's something about melody and rhythm and rhyme that sticks with us, and there's something about that. I'm not telling you I understand this, but there's something about music that opens us up in a way that you cultivate hearts that are hard. How many of you ever been just moved by a song? Now, I'm not talking about just hearing it emotionally. But when you hear something and you're moved, there's a plowing up of the heart that's going on. There's a plucking away of the stoniness. There's a weeding out. Music sometimes has the ability to focus us in on certain truths. We hear those things in rhythm and rhyme and melody. If you'll worship before you get to church, not wait until you get to church. And even if you wait, don't use the song service just to read words off a page. Use the song service to prepare your heart to receive the seed of God's word so that it can convince you and convert you, transform you into the image of Christ. We need to cultivate our hearts. And I think that there are ways that we can help cultivate the hearts of others. Now, I don't believe that's my primary responsibility. But I think if I'm a friend to somebody that's unsaved, if I'm kind to them, if I'm cordial to them, if I'm helpful to them, I can help cultivate their heart to receive the seed of God's word. You may develop a long-term relationship with somebody that's lost before you are ever able to plant something in them that'll bring about their conversion. I found this out hard times. When lost people, when backslidden people fall upon hard times, that is a good time for a solid Christian to go to them and just be a friend to them. Because hard times tender our hearts. Make us more receptive. We're listening for something that might help us make it. And so I do think that we have a responsibility to cultivate our own hearts and some responsibility to help cultivate the hearts of other people that are around us just by the way that we interact with them. we can tender their minds to the truth. So I think all of us have to beware of hardness, doubt, worldliness. Break it up, move the rocks, pull the weeds, because all of us can have that heart that'll hear the word and be unchanged by it. That'll hear the word and never produce fruit from it. So every time you read the word or hear the word proclaimed, be ready and receptive to hear it with that believing ear. Now, I could go on, but I'm gonna wind it down. All right. I really do. I think Jesus gave us parables because he wants us to think about it. Y'all ever thought how much time have you spent thinking about a seed? That is an incredible thing. You know that most of the living things, I'm hesitant to say all. But I'm not hesitant to say most of the living things, whether you're talking about plants or animals, began with what? Seed. In fact, we could get into some human reproduction. The womb, the egg is the ground. The zygote, is that how you say it? I'm trying to be technical, not specific. It is a seed that finds fertile ground that produces what? Life. And what does that life have the capability of doing? Reproducing. Now, this there was two big old oak or pine trees that stood right here where this pulpit is standing at. But I can take this pulpit and go bury it in the yard and there ain't a tree coming up. If it does, it didn't come up for me. You can't take the car, you can't take the wheel off your car and go plant it in your yard and grow a new car. You can't reproduce a rock like that. I thought in the mountains, Cindy's, we went all in waterfalls. She said, you can build me one behind the house. I said, where am I going to get a rock in South Georgia? You start toting them off one at a time, I reckon, from the mountains. But you can't plant a rock, make a rock. So Jesus used this terminology of a seed. There's life there. But you know a seed is as dead as a rock. It is as dead as a car tire. It's as dead as this wood that this pulpit's made out of. Cut it open. I dare you. If you got a microscope and I don't have one, I'd loan it to you. Go home and cut you open a seed and there ain't nothing living in it. In fact, you can store it up in a cold tomb. And them Egyptian tombs that have been sitting there for thousands of years, bags of seed in them, sealed up in that cold tomb. It's there, but it's still dead. It's just a seed. But you take that thing out, and you expose that seed to a little bit of sunshine, and a little bit of water, and a little bit of good soil, and that was completely, totally, absolutely dead comes alive. That's amazing. That's God's creation. So God has revealed his plan of salvation and even his plan for sanctification. He has revealed it to us all around us. We take advantage of it every day. I'm fitting to go eat a meal that my wife prepared this morning, and every bit of it came from some seed. Jesus wants us to think about this thing. That is completely, absolutely, totally dead, when it finds the right soil with a little bit of sunshine and a good soaking, it will tender up and come to life. And bring forth fruit. So, you need good seed. You need somebody to scatter it. You need good soil. And you also need that sunshine. I think there's a reason the Bible calls Jesus the day star. You know what? That's a, what would we call our day star? What's the only star you can see during the day outside? It's the sunshine in the sky. But the Bible calls Jesus the day star. Man, and I've said this before, but the first light that was created in this world wasn't the light of the sun. It was the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by the knowledge of Jesus that you overcome darkness, that you begin to receive truth. And the first step in your journey is to acknowledge who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you. And only until you're ready to believe and submit yourself to Him as Lord and Savior of your life can you begin to grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit is often in the Bible represented. In fact, we sing songs about it. The Holy Spirit is that rain that softens the soul and softens the seed and causes it to germinate and begin to grow. So when you have good seed, faithful sowers, fertile fields, the Lord Jesus Christ shining and the Holy Spirit soaking it, it'll be fertile. It'll produce fruit in all of our lives. It'll grow us up. It'll mature us. It'll make us like Him. And we have the ability then to go out and reproduce, to make disciples, which is what Jesus has called us to do. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and think about seeds and what makes them grow. And then I want to think about your own heart. I want you to think about your own heart and how you read and how you hear God's word. Because if you don't hear it with an ear that's ready to receive it, understand it, believe it, and apply it, it'll never, ever change you. But when you do, it will every time. That's what faith is all about. Let's stand together as our musicians come. Lord, I thank you for your word. I'm a simple man, and I need simple stories. I need illustrations. I need pictures. And I think that's the reason that you taught like you did. Lord, help us not to be indifferent when we read your word, when we hear your word being proclaimed. Help us not to have a hard heart, calloused heart. And Lord, although I don't think that you're opposed at all to us feeling something, help us not get so caught up in what we're feeling that we can't even hear what you're really saying. I don't want to just be an emotional hearer. I love it when the Word of God moves me. I love it when I'm moved by music. I love it when I feel things. But I also know that I'm not going to feel good every day. I'm going to have hard days. I'm going to have trials and tribulations and persecutions. And all of us will. And those are the times maybe that we need your Word more than anything. But if we're just an emotional hearer, it won't produce fruit. And God, help me not to be double-minded. Help us, Lord, not to have one foot in the world and the other in the Word. To be carnally minded, your Word teaches us, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so help us to be people who cultivate our own hearts. To always be ready to hear what you say. Help us to understand it. There are some things I still struggle to understand, but sometimes these simple illustrations bring revelation to us that we might not have otherwise. So help us to pray and worship and prepare to hear and understand and believe and apply everything that you say. God, there may be somebody here that's lost. They need to be saved today. We're born again by that incorruptible seed. If they've heard the word of God about who Jesus is and what he's done, he lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and he rose again victorious on the third day. And your word says that by grace through faith, we're saved. And so if there's one here this morning, knows they're lost, they know that they're not on their way to heaven, I pray that that seed found a place today. And that they receive it, submit themselves completely to it. Spiritually, God, we all need to grow. Spiritual growth is the most important thing the church can do. It makes us better witnesses when we walk out your word. We become better sowers of it. So help us, God. Have your will and your way. Do your work in this invitation, and we'll praise you for any and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.